Atta Shri Krishna Namadina Bhavad Grahyamindriyahi Sivun Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyadaha. This verse is included in Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. It was quoted many times by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who is undoubtedly the greatest representative of Srila Rupa Goswami in the modern age. He quoted it no less than three times in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita as it is, and literally hundreds of times elsewhere in his writings and talks. So what's important about it? What does it mean? The point being made is that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is transcendental. And we, who are within this material world, we operate within the sphere of mundane energy, material energy. Our senses interact with material energy, with the sense objects. So our senses are also programmed, hardwired to perceive matter. Our senses, by contact with the mundane, are also mundane. We are not able to perceive that which is beyond matter. Just to give an example, or just to help us understand this, we can only see, we are told, within certain spectrums. If the light gets too bright or too dark, or goes too much to the infrared scale, ultraviolet scale, we can't see with the unaided eye. We can only hear at certain pitches, very high pitch. We can't hear it. Now, that is an example within the mundane sphere, but there is a whole realm of perception which is totally beyond our present senses. We hear of the description of Krishna, Vinungvananta Ravinda Dalaya Takshambar Havatamsa Masitam Buddhasundarangam Yang Shamasundaram Achintya Gunaswarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, he plays a flute. His eyes are beautiful like the petals of a lotus flower. His head is adorned with peacock feather, and his whole countenance is like that of a cloud heavy with water just about to rain. His form is blackish and beautiful, but what is that beauty? We cannot even begin to imagine it with our mundane senses, with our mundane mind, because it is a tint of inconceivable transcendental qualities. So what are we doing in this process of bhakti yoga? We're supposed to be linking with Krishna, but we can't even perceive of him. We can hardly imagine. Our mundane senses can't reach him. Our mundane intelligence can't reach him. How can we possibly reach Krishna? How can we link with Krishna? Bhakti yoga means linking with Krishna. And the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami is to teach us, or to give a guide, how we can link with Krishna in transcendental bliss. And everything that Srila Prabhupada did in his mission to bring Krishna consciousness to the world, Krishna consciousness means to link us with Krishna. Is it intrinsically impossible? Our senses cannot reach to Krishna. Even we chant his name, Krishna, But where's Krishna? To us, it may seem just like two syllables. And then there's Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes. Are they totally beyond us? No, because even though we don't have the power to reach Krishna, Krishna is unlimited. And Krishna is unlimitedly powerful, he's unlimitedly merciful. He can bestow upon us the ability to perceive him, to reach him, to kiss him, even. Wow. Hare Krishna. Then, if it totally depends on his mercy, is there anything we can do to invoke his mercy? We can't demand his mercy. He may give it to someone who's completely unqualified. Who is qualified? No one has any qualification to reach Krishna. We're tiny living beings. But he himself gives the process by which we can come to him, by which we can begin to please him even when living in this world. Even when we are a long way from the perfection of having our consciousness fully saturated with thoughts of Krishna, we can start to serve him. And when we develop a tendency, a liking, a desire to serve him, with that natural innate desire of the soul to serve him, when we develop that, then Krishna becomes inclined to show himself to us, to reveal himself to us. And again, it's up to Krishna. Krishna's fully independent. He can bestow all perfection upon someone who's not even trying to love him. And he can withhold his mercy from someone who's trying. But generally, yayatamang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajamyaham. He reciprocates. He's a person. He reciprocates according to how we approach him. So this is a very, very important verse, which gives us a clue how we can begin to approach Krishna by unearthing or reviving our innate tendency to love him. Love begins with liking and desiring to serve him. So where do we begin? And just in saying all this, I'm just paraphrasing and expanding upon this verse. Atashri Krishna nama dina bhaved grahyam indriyai sivun mukhe hi jiv hado swayameva spurati adaha. Well, how do we begin? What is bhakti yoga? What do we do? Sivon mukehi jivado. Jiva means the tongue, beginning with the tongue. This kind of yoga begins with the tongue. The tongue. Now that seems, it might seem very strange. The tongue doesn't seem very spiritual. We can imagine if we cut out the tongue and put it on a table, and it wouldn't look very attractive. And what does the tongue do? The tongue eats. The main activities of the tongue are to eat and to make a sound. Speaking, singing. Now, for the impersonalists who want to attain or have some aim to attain spiritual perfection, but who are not inclined to Krishna, who want to get liberated from this material world, but who do not want to recognize their position as eternal servants of Krishna, this idea of attaining perfection by the tongue may seem very strange, because they're not, in their understanding, they're not supposed to engage the senses. They're not supposed to completely withdraw the senses. Kurmangani Vasaravashaha. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about withdrawing the senses from their objects, like a tortoise withdraws his limbs within his exoskeleton, within his shell. So theoretically, the impersonalists, they should not desire to eat any nice food. But in Krishna consciousness, there's lots of nice food. Krishna prasad, Krishna's mercy in the form of food offered to him with love and returned by him with love plus his blessings. Now, the other function of the tongue is to speak. Now, we find that many impersonalists, they take a vow, Mounavrata. They say nothing, we'll say nothing. But more of them, although they say that everything is one, in which case there shouldn't be too much to talk about if there's only one. Somehow they're able to go on talking. And there are others akin to the impersonalists who say that nothing, everything is nothing. And they write hundreds of books and go on talking and instructing people about how everything is nothing, which is a bit strange, because if everything is nothing, there's nothing to talk about. If everything is one, then okay, one, finished. What else is there to say? But they should just stop talking, actually. But devotees, they are the most garrulous, talkative. Why? Because they like to talk about Krishna. And Krishna has unlimited qualities. Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. Therefore, devotees, they like to go on talking about Krishna and chanting his enchanting holy names. And by doing this, one becomes purified, one's tendency to serve Krishna unfolds and wraps, and Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. And then one can use his tongue in transcendence, in the spiritual world, to serve Krishna by praising his glories in the spiritual world. And all the senses, jihvado, all the senses are to be engaged in Krishna's service. The sense of touch is to be used in the spiritual world. We can run to chase Krishna and to massage his transcendental body. Here the deity also can massage the transcendental body of Krishna, embrace the devotees of Krishna. The sense of smell can be used for, must be, if we're going to become spiritually advanced, to smell the flowers offered to Krishna. Impersonalists won't do that. They can't enjoy the pleasure of flowers because, oh, that's all illusion. That any attraction in this world will bind us to this world. But because these flowers, which are beautifully made by Krishna, are offered with love in his service, and the devotees have kindly offered it to me with love after offering to Krishna, and then that smell, because it's blessed by Krishna, it's in relationship with Krishna, it's Krishna's remnants, and that becomes purifying by smelling it. So we don't stop the desire to smell, to eat, to talk, to laugh, to sing, to have friends, and ultimately to love. We don't try to stop that, but we channel it towards the real source of all love, who is Krishna. Now, in this regard, the activities of the tongue and ultimately of all the senses, I would like to read a few quotations from the writings and talks of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The first one is from his purport to the text, the first text of Nectar of Instruction. This is, of course, another book, a very short and very important work by Srila Rupa Goswami. Upadeshamrita, in which Srila Prabhupada quotes from Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda. He gives the Bengali and then translates it. So the Bengali, it's well known by devotees in the line of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, which includes all ISKCON devotees. Sharira vidyajal jarendriya tahe kal jibe pele vishaya sagare tarma de jiba ati lobhamai shudurmati take jerta kotin sangsare krishna baradayamai karibare jiva joy shaprasadana dilobhai shanamrita pao radha krishna gunagao premadako chaitanyanitai. Translation is given by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Instruction purport. O Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance and the senses are a network of paths leading to death. Somehow or other we have fallen into the ocean of material sense enjoyment. The material senses are binding us with the desire to enjoy. And of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. You can try by fasting to conquer the tongue. There's a very nice, easy process, very relishable process, which Krishna gives, which the translation goes on to explain. But you, dear Krishna, are very kind to us. You have sent this nice prasad to help us conquer the tongue. Therefore, let us take this prasad to our full satisfaction and glorify your lordship, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and in love call for the help of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda. Very difficult to control the tongue, but Krishna has given the prasad. If we take that, remembering this is Krishna's mercy, then we get Krishna's mercy. It is Krishna's mercy to help us conquer the tongue and help us to come closer and closer to Him in a relationship of love. Again, from the Nectar of Instruction, text 2, purport, discussing another function of the tongue, talking. The use and misuse of that is discussed here, particularly in this verse, the misuse of the tongue in talking about things which are not related to Krishna, and all kinds of other activities which are not related to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada touches on that. He states here, another impediment is prajalpa, unnecessary talking. When we mix with a few friends, we immediately begin unnecessary talking, sounding just like croaking toads. There you go. All the great speeches in the world, so many people are saying so many things. Croaking toads. Why the croaking toads? That sounds a bit insulting. Well, it gives the idea, croaking toad, the sound the toad makes is an indication to the snake who is crawling, there's my food. So we become captured by the snake of time if we misuse our tongues for talking about topics that are not specifically related to Krishna. Then we become caught by the snake of time. In other words, we have to go on getting born and dying again and again. So continuing what Srila Prabhupada writes here, if we must talk, we should talk about the Krishna consciousness movement. Those outside of the Krishna consciousness movement are interested in reading heaps of newspapers, magazines and novels, solving crossword puzzles, and doing many other nonsensical things. In this fashion, people simply waste their valuable time and energy. In the Western countries, old men retired from active life play cards, fish, watch television, and debate about useless socio-political schemes. All these and other frivolous activities are included in the Prajalpa category. Intelligent persons interested in Krishna consciousness should never take part in such activities. More about talking Prajalpa, which in this context means just unnecessary talking nonsense. This is from a talk that Srila Prabhupada gave in 1972. He states, Prajalpa means talking nonsense. As soon as... This is the nature of the living entity in the conditioned state. Just like, as he gives another example, apart from the frogs, just like as soon as the crows, they gather together, gah, 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 wah. The frogs. Any living entity, as soon as they will gather, they will talk all nonsense. Don't do that, Srila Prabhupada warns his disciples. We have got a great assembly. We have got facility for mixing. But if you take advantage of this assembly and talk all nonsense, what is politics? What is this? What is that? That is called Prajalpa. Again, talking about Prajalpa, in a talk in 1974. Prajalpa means talking all nonsense. Suppose politics. What Mr. Nixon did yesterday, or what did he say? Remember, this is 1974, so it's about Mr. Nixon, and now it's Mr. Trump, if you're in America especially, and then it'll be Mr. Someone Else, and Mr. Someone Else. So what Mr. Nixon did yesterday, or what did he say? So what interest have we got in Mr. Nixon? We shall not waste our time talking of this politics, that politics, this sociology, this cinema, this affair. No, we have nothing to do with that. That is called prajalpa, unnecessary talking. Talking means decreasing your duration of life. Talking. So why should you decrease your life unnecessarily? Every moment you have to utilize, whether it is used for Krishna, this is sadhana. The idea, sadhana, that it's not just the specific programs we have, morning program, evening program, arati, kirtan, classes, but our whole life, the whole practice of how we are training our senses, dovetailing our senses in the service of Krishna. Now, a talk in 1967 about the propensity of the tongue in the matter of eating. By this submissive process that I surrender my tongue to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then by controlling the tongue, you control all other senses. You go to a straight line from the tongue down, all the senses will be controlled. Tongue, belly, genitals. So if the tongue is controlled, that means we don't eat food off any other food than food offered to Krishna, and the food offered to Krishna, we're taking it to get some strength to serve Krishna. That's the physical aspect of it, so we don't want to take too much, and in that way the belly is controlled. We don't overly pack the belly, and in this way the genital is also controlled. So you go in a straight line from the tongue down, all the senses will be controlled. And if you cannot control your tongue, Srila Prabhupada said, then you cannot control your senses, the other senses. From a 1970 talk. Therefore, our process is how one can think of Krishna always. We have so many departments. It means in the Krishna consciousness movement, there are so many different things to do. Srila Prabhupada says the idea is how to think of Krishna. That's all. That is the yoga. Even in taking prasadam, you are thinking of Krishna. Oh, it is very nice. Krishna has tasted. It is very nice. That is Krishna consciousness. That is yoga. So eating in yoga doesn't mean to eat necessarily to eat organic foods and health foods and all this kind of thing, but food which is cooked specifically for the pleasure of Krishna, offered to Krishna with love, and then specifically Srila Prabhupada says here that one should think it is very nice because Krishna has tasted it. One should consciously think this is Krishna's prasadam, and that will enhance the effect of taking Krishna's prasadam. Sometimes we think that, well, if we give people, they don't even know it's prasadam, they just take it, they'll be benefited. Yeah, but if they know it's Krishna's prasadam and they take in that consciousness, then all the more they'll be benefited, which is why Srila Prabhupada in devotee restaurants around the world, he wanted it to be clearly written so that everyone could see what is the nature of the food they're taking. This is not ordinary food. This is food offered to Krishna. This is Krishna's mercy in the form of food. Then all the senses. This is from a talk in 1974. And I'm just, here's the quotes I'm giving are just a random sample because of course Srila Prabhupada spoke about this repeatedly. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is engaging our senses in the service of Krishna. Beginning with the tongue, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which means, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service, which means to engage our senses in Krishna's service. From the 1974 talk, the deity of Krishna should be seen, that is the benefit of the eyes. The ears should be engaged in hearing about Krishna. The tongue should be engaged, the tongue should be engaged for eating Krishna's remnants of foodstuff, prasadam. The nose should be engaged for smelling the flower which is offered to Krishna, or the tulsi. In this way, when you engage all your senses, the leg should be utilized for coming to this temple to see Krishna. Simple process, simple to understand, simple to execute, and by engaging all our senses, beginning with the tongue, in the service of Krishna, praying to Krishna, then we are simply hoping, praying for the mercy of Krishna. Krishna, please with me. Jagannath Swami, Nayanda Patagami Pavatam, please reveal yourself to me so that I may better engage in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, beginning with the tongue. So nice. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna, who has very kindly made us available to himself through his deity form, in the form of prasada, in the form of his holy name, so many ways. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada, who revealed Krishna to us. Dante nidhaya chunakang padayane patya kritva chakaku shatame tadaham ravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragaha vancha kalpatarubhyas chakripa sindhu vivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.